Turning your Bibles to Matthew 6. Matthew 6, 25. We'll be there for a little bit, and we'll talk about a few other things today, too. And while you find Matthew 6, 25, let me pray for us one more time. Father, again, I just thank you for your presence with us here this morning. I just thank you that you're coming into this place to meet us. What a privilege to meet with the living God. What a privilege to have you dwell in us and through us and among us and over us. And Jesus, again, today we want to be transformed by your word. And so we just ask that you come and you speak to this word. We're just going to look at one verse very quickly today, but Lord, just speak to us. Minister to our hearts and then prepare us for what you want to do through this sermon series and through this idea of seeking first your kingdom. As always, we take authority over the atmosphere in this room and we bind any spirit that would cause a distraction in the name of Jesus. We bind any spirit that would cause confusion in the name of Jesus. We bind any spirit that would cause doubt in the name of Jesus. We bind any spirit of unforgiveness, and we bind any spirit that would cause one to feel inferior in the name of Jesus. Only the Holy Spirit may speak and move and have his way in this place. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today I want to do three things. I'm going to begin by briefly introducing this sermon series called Seek First. We're going to kind of lay out a little bit and give you a picture of what this sermon series is going to be like. I'm going to give you a few tools to go along with that. And then I want to talk about prayer for a little bit, about what I want to try to see us accomplish for the month of January in prayer. And so we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about prayer. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about outreach and invitation. And then we'll end with communion this morning. So, as I mentioned, I'm going to start a sermon series. It's going to be based on Matthew 6 and then the parallel story in, Matthew 6 and the parallel story in Luke 12. Let me read it to you. From Matthew, starting in 6:25, it says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life." Anyone here have worry? I got some giggles and chuckles. "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, or what you will wear." Now this relates back to what Rissa shared in the call to worship with the Martha and Mary story. Man, there's such a temptation in our culture to run ourselves ragged and do all this stuff, and Jesus is like, "Nah, you don't need to do that." And I used to be that person. I used to be that person that ran myself ragged. And you know what? It's folly. And he tells us here, do not worry. Is life not worth more than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Has anyone ever been able to add an hour to their life yet through worry? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? Do they not labor and spin? They do not labor and spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon in all his splendor was not dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. Ouch. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So we get the kingdom, and then we get all the stuff that we chased after, if we seek him first. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have enough worry of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. We could just say amen and go home after reading that, couldn't we? For this entire series, I'm going to focus on that statement of seek first his kingdom. Seek first his kingdom. You see, when I look at this passage, and he says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. When I look at this, I don't see the fullness of those promises in my life. So either God's a liar, or I haven't fully sought after his kingdom. Which do you think it is? I'm not going to be the one to say God's a liar. So I'm going to have to say that maybe I haven't been fully seeking after the things of his kingdom. Now, here's the thing. So the title throughout the entire series is going to be Seek First. Seek First the Kingdom. But the theme of the series is Seek First the Kingdom and Grow. Seek first the kingdom and grow. My goal is to see all of us become more Christ-like. Seeking first and growing. Because we could seek first and in the end still be the same. Right? That would be possible. We could strive our way through a seek first kind of thing. But here's the thing. In order to seek first and grow, guess what? There's going to have to be some challenges. There's going to have to be some goal setting. And there's going to have to be some accountability. So we're going to get serious in this series, and we're going to grow. We're going to grow as a church, and we're going to grow as individuals. I believe that the church, the global church, is to be way more than it is. God intended much more for the church. And so as we grow as individuals, then that begins to also transform the church. Amen? And I hesitate to say this because I know how we are. We're going to be in this series a while. We're going to cover a lot of everyday topics. We're going to cover things like finances, racism and diversity, forgiveness, prayer, worship, emotional health, physical health. We're going to cover a lot of issues. We're going to be in this series, are you ready? Until June. Y'all can head for the doors now if you want. What's it? Well, you know me. I always add in a few that I wasn't planning on. Wow. We're going to be here a while. Why? Why are we going to be here so long? Because I so resonate with what Bree said. We're going to be here a while because I want more of him. I want to be wrecked. And I want to see this church be all that God intended this church to be. And that starts with us as individuals being all that God intended us to be. And so this, I am super excited about 2019. I am super optimistic. Whatever I said. And I'm excited about this year. I believe God is going to do mighty things through us and in this place this year. But we're going to grow. And we're going to get stretched. And we're going to do things, and we're going to go places that we haven't done before. Throughout this series, I'm going to focus again on transformation and growth. And you see, here's the thing. The enemy would like nothing more than we hear these messages and then remain the same. There is this tendency in our human nature to not get around to transformation. The enemy will tell us to wait till tomorrow. You know what? Just wait till tomorrow, and then you can start this transformation thing. What if tomorrow doesn't come? Or the enemy might tell us that transformation is too hard. I've tried that before. I bounced off the wall. I'm not going to do it again. This transformation thing that Tim's talking about, it's just going to be too hard. You're not going to like it. You should run. I'm telling you, he's going to come, and he's going to tell you these things. Or worse yet, the enemy will come to you and say, you don't need transformation. You're good the way you are. Bias of normalcy. The pain of change has to become greater. I'm sorry, the pain of staying the same has to become greater than the pain of change. In order for me to truly transform, I got to realize that where I am stinks. And I'm willing to pay the price to get to a better place. Because if I'm even a little bit content with where I am, I'm never going to pay the price to change. So the pain of staying the same has to become greater than the pain of change. And we're going to get there. I'll just push us off the cliff if I have to. But the enemy is also going to come and tell us, you don't need to transform. You're good. I've had people look me in the eyes and say, no, I'm fine. Really? Wow. I'm here to tell you, you're probably not. So we don't want to stay the same. We're not going to listen to the lies of the enemy. We're not going to listen to all these things that he's going to come and tell us that it's too hard and I can't do it and you don't need to. But the essence of this whole series is going to be on transformation and discipleship. What does it look like to truly seek first the kingdom of God and be a follower of Jesus? To become like him more every day, and that's going to require everyday growing. So here's the thing. We're going to focus in this series on everyday thinking. This isn't going to be some abstract thing. We're going to choose to make the kingdom a part of everyday little choices. You make hundreds of decisions every day, don't you? What am I going to wear? What am I going to eat? How am I going to spend money? Which route am I going to drive to work? Who am I going to talk to today? Where am I going to sit at lunch? We make hundreds of decisions every day, and my goal is to get us to a place where we think through all of those little decisions with the kingdom mindset. How can I dress for the kingdom? How can I spend money for the kingdom? How can I go to work for the kingdom? How can I drive for the kingdom? Ooh, ouch. How can I bring kingdom thinking into all of the little decisions that I make in my life? It's going to be a very practical series. It's also going to apply to the church. Like I said before, as we change as individuals, as we transform, then the church begins to transform. You can never look at the church and say, well, the church has this problem. The church should do this because the church is made up of people. And so any problem that exists in the church exists among the people of the church. And so as we transform, the church transforms. And it becomes what God has intended it to be. There are going to be several things along the way that you're going to hear me say over and over and over and over and over again in this series. Have I ever mentioned that we're supposed to heal the sick and cleanse the lepers? Okay. Just checking. One of the things I'm going to focus on in this series is seek first is this is an invitation. When Jesus says, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, he's inviting us into something better. And again, this comes back. I love the fact that Rista did the Mary and Martha story today. And we didn't coordinate that. I let her pick what she wants to do because that's it. Jesus is inviting us into something better. He's saying, don't worry about that stuff that you've been preoccupied with. Come and sit at my feet. And so as we go through this whole Seek First sermon series, it's not about doing more. It's about accepting the invitation. He's got a better way. He has a better way, and he's simply inviting us to walk in that better way. And so you're going to hear me saying this all the time. It's not about striving. It's about receiving and walking into this invitation. Being transformed through the work that Jesus already did on the cross, the striving Jesus did on the cross. Now we just enter into the invitation. There are several other passages that you're going to hear me come back to again and again. James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, he will be blessed in all that he does. Who wants to be blessed in all that they do? So the key to being blessed in all that we do is to do what he says. Because then the blessing flows automatically. To be blessed in all that we do, we have to do what he wants us to do. To do what he is doing. I couldn't even say it again, could I? But this comes back to this idea of transformation. Letting God's word, letting his speaking to us transform us. And then doing things his way. So we're going to keep coming back to this James 1:22 throughout the entire thing. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. I love in 2 Chronicles 16:9, it says this, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Who wants to be strengthened by the Lord? The strengthening comes as we're fully committed to him. He will strengthen those that are committed to him. If I'm lacking strength, I'm lacking commitment. Yeah, ooh. Ooh. Now, here's another thing for this whole series that I'm going to repeat a lot as well, and I really want you to hear this very carefully. Like I said, we're going to cover a lot of topics. It could almost seem overwhelming. I'm not even going to tell you how many topics we're going to cover because you'll freak out. All of these things that we're going to cover, it's not that we have to go do all of these things every day. I don't have to run around like a chicken with my head cut off trying to do all of these kingdom things. But rather, our goal in seeking first his kingdom is to get our mind and our thinking and our hearts aligned in such a place where everything we do is kingdom. So it's everything I do is kingdom versus trying to do every kingdom thing. That I can repeat, it's in my notes. Everything, we want to get to the point where everything I do is kingdom versus trying to do every kingdom thing. So this is definitely not about striving and adding more to our plate. If you make a New Year's resolution this year, my advice to you would be your resolution should be take something off your plate. Do one less thing. Find something in your life that you're just going to, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. Little Dana Carvey there coming through. So everything we do is going to be kingdom versus trying to do every kingdom thing. Now, why? Why are we going to enter into this? Why are we going to enter into this kind of a long study? Well, first and foremost, we seek the kingdom in all areas of our life because Jesus invited us into that. He said, seek first my kingdom. And then the Bible says, do what it says. So we're going to seek first his kingdom because it's what Jesus invited us into. And James says we'll be blessed if we do it. The second thing is we want to, because we want to grow deeper in our relationship with Jesus. I just want more of him. And I'm so excited that of the passion that so many of you have for more of him. And so we're going to enter into this because we just want more of him. And then thirdly, there is a side benefit. Francis Chan makes this comment. He says, lack of fruit speaks to a lack of pursuit. Lack of fruit speaks to a lack of pursuit. As we truly seek the kingdom first, he can then start to use us more and we can bear more fruit in our lives. But if we're seeking lots of other small cake kingdoms, then Jesus is like, I can't trust you with the glory of my kingdom. The glory of his kingdom is so great and so amazing and so magnificent, he can only give it to the ones who are completely and entirely sold out to him. Because if he gives it to others, they'll squander it. Or they'll miss it. And so we enter into this because it's what he told us to do. We want to grow deeper to Jesus and we want to bear more fruit. I love Francis Chan's quote, lack of fruit speaks of lack of pursuit. It comes back to the 2 Chronicles 16 passage I just said. The eyes of the Lord range to the earth, looking to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. If we lack strength, we're not committed. Jesus has all the answers for all of our ailments. You know, as we think about this why question and wanting to bear more fruit, I love to read church history, and I love to read biographies of the saints of old and of the current saints. And, you know, we look at some of these people. We look at a Smith Wigglesworth or a modern time, maybe a Bill Johnson, or we look at some of these people that we really admire. And we're like, oh, man, I want to be like them. And then you read a really in-depth biography from them and you went, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm not sure I'm willing to pay that price. Francis Chan, recently, he went to Africa on his very first mission trip and he came home and he sold his house and he lives in a trailer park now. Francis Chan, when he wrote his first book, his publisher came to him and said, this book is going to be huge. It scared the daylights out of Francis, and he said, wait, before the book goes to publishing then, I have to sign over the rights to it. And before a single book was sold, he signed over 100% of the rights to the book so that he would never receive a penny of it, and the book sold millions of dollars worth of copies. But he sold it because he didn't want it. He knew what it would do to his soul if he took it. I just heard an interesting story from Bill Johnson the other day. He's one of my heroes of the current faith. He takes communion by himself every single day so that he does not lose sight of the sacrifice of Jesus. I thought, wow. He goes, even when I travel, I bring a little communion kit with me in my luggage. And I'll have communion in the hotel room. or in the airport. He takes communion every day so that the broken body of Christ remains that close to him. Bill Johnson tells a story where he wanted more of the Lord, and he was desperate for more of the Lord, and so he prayed morning, noon, and night. He prayed unceasingly for 9 months. And then the Lord visited him one night in the middle of the night and changed his life forever. I have troubles praying for 9 minutes, let alone 9 months. Frank Bartleman, one of my heroes of the old, Frank Bartleman was one of the founders of the Azusa Street Revival. Before the revival broke out, his biography says that he was praying 7 hours a day and fasting so much his wife despaired for his life. Now, as we look at these people and we see these great testimonies and maybe we want to be like them, we think that's too far away. And you know what? It is. And so that's why we start into this Seek First sermon series, because I want us to begin with little steps. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And so I want us to start going after the more of the Lord. I want us to start pressing into him with just little steps. Getting our kingdom thinking to line up a little bit more. Making kingdom decisions throughout the day and all the little things. Because we're not going to just start praying 7 hours a day tomorrow. We're not going to sell our house tomorrow. But we can begin, we can commit to making little changes in our thoughts and our actions and our patterns so that we begin to move toward a greater filling and indwelling of the Lord. Amen? So I'm going to keep those stories in my own personal life. I keep these stories of these heroes. I keep them out in front of me as motivation. I want to be like some of those guys. And I'm not going to do what they did because the Lord's got a different story for my life. But I am going to start finding ways that I can pay the price to get there. Throughout this sermon series, we're also going to set goals. And we're going to have activities to do, because there's got to be some accountability. There's got to be some rubber hits the road to begin transformation. Because if we simply talk about transformation, we don't actually transform. Right? I can talk about losing weight, but I won't until I take actions and change my diet and my exercise habits, right? So I can talk about becoming more Christ-like, but until I actually take some action, nothing will happen. So we're going to have weekly goals and weekly activities. Here's the part that I'm excited about this whole thing, in case you can't tell. But maybe here's the part that I'm even the most excited about. We, y'all, us together, we're going to write a book. You see, I don't want this sermon series to be a fleeting thing that just goes away in a few months and then it's soon forgotten. Because we do that, right? Human nature. I don't want this thing to just disappear by Christmas. And so I want to write a book as we go. We're going to take each week's sermon and make it one chapter in the book, because almost every week is a different topic. And so each week's sermon becomes a chapter in the book. But to make this book effective, to make this book convincing, I need your testimonies. And so each week as we go through the series, we're going to have an opportunity for people to share testimonies of how they've been transformed, of how they've seen growth happening in their life, and of how they've seen God working and moving in their life through this as we press in together. And so you're going to get an opportunity to share that testimony in church, and then I'll pick a scribe, or hopefully somebody will volunteer for that. We'll write down those testimonies, and that becomes the last part of each chapter of the book. We'll change your name if you don't want your name used, but yeah. So we're going to use your testimonies to tell the rest of the world, hey, guess what? If you really seek first the kingdom, it works. I want to share a quick story. I can do it today because of who's here. So this is going back before Christmas, a couple of weeks before Christmas. There was one particular week. I got off of it during the holiday season, but generally I come here to the building sometime during the week. And I'd stand in front of those prayer circles and I'd pray all of those circles, and then I just pace through the whole church and I pray. Quite some time ago, we had set a goal of praying for 10 visitors a week. It's one of those goals that it has to be there, because then we would know God did it, right? If we prayed for one visitor a week, we could say, well, look what we did. And so that was one of those things where it slipped off our radar. We kind of forgot about it. And so that week, I was reminded of it. And every single day that week, I prayed earnestly for 10 visitors. And that following Sunday, we had 7. Yeah, but 7 is better than none, right? It's not quite full, right? So we got to get a few more people filling the bowl. Yeah. So we're going to use testimonies like that to illustrate that God is faithful. Amen? Now, I actually want to transition a bit. That's the end of my introduction to the sermon series, and I hope you're as excited as I am. I want to transition a bit. We're going to talk about prayer, and then we're going to come back and talk about some outreach. I don't know if you've seen and on social media and stuff that's happening out there. There have been two big pushes within the Christian church that have been happening in January. One is the Explore God thing that a lot of churches are doing, and the other is Pray 21. Pray for 21 days starting January. Well, 21 days isn't enough. Let's pray more. So let's pray for the month of January. Let's take the month of January and pray until something happens. We're going to use that PUSH acronym, pray until something happens. And so we're not just praying for 21 days. I'm asking us to pray for the entire month. We're going to put all other activities on the side for the moment. We're not going to do Taco Tuesdays. We're not going to do women's group. We're not going to do Wednesday night class. And we're not going to do leadership class. We're just going to focus on prayer for the entire month of January. And maybe we'll extend it a little bit. And then after that, what's that? Right? Well, I'm going to pray until something happens. Right? Maybe it's, who knows when that is. But we're going to pray until something happens. And then later in the February, March, we'll start back our normal activities. Why so much prayer? Because our bowl is only half full. Yeah, I'll get to that in a minute. Why so much prayer? Well, we're a church with big dreams. And big dreams require big prayer. Some of that stuff on the wall up there is pretty crazy. And it's not going to happen without big prayer. We also need to see breakthrough. We need to see breakthrough in this church. And so we're going to pray, and we're going to pray until something happens. We're going to continue praying our prayer circles. We're going to pray for a significant kingdom advancement in this church this year. And here's the other thing that I've been really getting this year. I've been getting this passage out of Joshua. Be courageous. Be strong and very courageous. And sort of my mantra, and it'll then probably become the mantra of the church, is I want to kick the devil's ass this year. And we can only do that with kind of crazy amounts of prayer. Because just the fact that I said it, now he's going to come and try to push back on us. Right? So we're going to have crazy amounts of prayer. So how will we do this? Kelly asks. Well, we got a number of different things. We're going to have some organized prayer meetings, and then I'm going to help you pray at home. Monday mornings at 12:30, Rissa is leading Harp and Bowl prayer. So if you're available Monday, come here at 12:30 to 1:30. If people want to stay after that and pray too, wonderful. The thing that she does from 12:30 to 1:30 is very leader-led. You're going to just be in the presence. She's going to guide us, take us, and lead us into the presence, and we're just going to bask in that place of being in the presence. Okay? Then on Wednesday nights, rather than any kind of class or kingdom life or whatever, we're just going to have a prayer meeting. Alana and I will take turns opening the doors and organizing that. Then on Friday nights, we're still going to pray on Friday night. So you can come Monday at noon or 12:30, Wednesday night at 7, Friday night at 7. Come and pray. That's all we're going to do. We're just going to pray and pray. And we're going to pray until something happens. Now, I also want you guys to be able to pray at home and to be able to pray effectively. And sometimes people will come to me and they say, well, I don't know what to pray for, or I don't know how to pray. I don't have language for prayer. And so every single week, we're going to give you a prayer guide. Okay? Every single week for the rest of the year, I'm going to give you a prayer guide. Because we are going to pray. Have I mentioned we're going to pray? With focus. What's that? All year. Until something happens. So, You're all going to get one of these prayer guides right now. So every single week, we're going to hand out the prayer guide. And then every Monday morning when I send out my thankfulness email, I'll attach it. So if you weren't here, you'll get it as an attachment. So if I don't have your email, you better give me your email. Now, there are some things that will always be the same because we're always praying for those things. Like sustained presence, that'll probably always be on here. Right? Otherwise, a lot of these other things that are on here are the prayer circles. So every week, this will be slightly updated for weekly needs. Like on the bottom, there's people that we need to be praying for. Emily and Rolando and Eileen and Sandy Becker and some people that have health issues. And so there's always going to be names of people to be praying for. So that'll change weekly as health issues change. Some of these other things will change slightly week to week. And then every month, it'll change in a more significant way. So in February, well, this is some of the prayer circles. In February, then we'll focus on different prayer circles. And in March, we'll focus on different prayer circles. So some of it will always be the same, and some of it will change week to week, and some of it will change month to month. Okay? Now, people sometimes tell me, too, that they don't have language to pray. Like, I don't even know how to pray for that. And so Rissa and I are collaborating on this thing, and so each week, she'll take one or two of the topics on here, and she's going to write out a sample prayer. So you'll see there's two of them on here where it says sample prayer. And this particular week, she took a scripture verse that applied to that topic and just used that scripture verse to frame a prayer. So if you're struggling with the language, just pray out what she wrote. And then we'll always change that. And I want several of you to keep these every week. So that as we move through the year, we have a running record of how the Lord is answering our prayers. So that we can... I want several of you to do it. Keep a notebook. So as we go through the year, you can flip through the past week's pages and be like, wow, look at what God did. Look how he answered that prayer. Look how he moved in this situation. Look how this one isn't on our list anymore because it doesn't need to be on our list anymore. And I don't want one person doing that because you might miss something. I want several of you doing that. So many of you are coming to me like, hey, I've been looking at the sheets and look what God did. And then we'll share those testimonies. Amen? All right. Nancy and Timothy are going to come and pass these out. Everybody get one, and you'll get one every week from now on, and it'll be on the Monday morning email as well. Yeah, I'm going to get to that. So I've covered everything that had to do with the prayer, and then the next thing on my notes is Kelly wants to know about fasting. So as we press through the month of January... Also consider, I'm going to wait until everyone's got their thing because they're all looking at the thing and not me. Okay. Kelly was asking about fasting. And Amy and Robin are giggling. Yes, throughout the month of January, see if the Lord is leading you to any kind of a fast. Okay? I really strongly felt like the Lord wanted me to begin the new year with a fast. And so I started the year with an 85-hour fast. Water only, 85 hours. And I know that there's at least one other person in the room that started the year with that same time frame of a fast as well. I'm going to leave that up to you. But what is the Lord talking to you? From this point on, I'm going to continue fasting 40 hours every week. So I take... from Thursday night all the way through till Saturday mid-morning. So that's 40 continuous hours. I'm going to continue fasting 40 hours every week. I may add in a few others as I feel the Lord leads. But what is the Lord calling you to? Is he calling you to do some kind of an extended fast, particularly in this month of January, particularly as we pray until something happens? And so even if you, I know at one point we had somebody fasting every day of the week, and the only days I'm not sure about right now are Wednesday and Thursday. But I know that there's other people fasting all the other days of the week. But if you want to tell me, just let me know when you're fasting. I'll be praying for you as you fast. But just pray and consider. Is that something the Lord wants you to do? Okay? Kelly, do you have any other questions? Because you've been asking really good questions. On the subject of prayer, we still have the prayer retreat coming up. If you haven't signed up yet, even though the deadline passed, I'm going to let you still sign up if you want to. So I think pretty much everybody here has, but you can still sign up for the prayer retreat today if you want to. Okay. Now, we got to talk about outreach. Grown. We want this church to grow, right? Here's the thing. Y'all keep coming to me. Oh, I love this church. I love this church. You all tell me that. So go tell somebody else about how much you love this church. Right? Either you're lying to me or you just need help telling somebody about how much you love this church. And so at the risk of maybe admitting that you're lying to me, I'm going to help you. And so Timothy and Nancy have a stack of the Seek First cards. You're going to I've already given you one. I'm going to give you another one. Go give it to somebody. I realized the other day I've got three brand new neighbors in my neighborhood. And so I'm going to go invite those three brand new neighbors. And I'm going to say, hey, we're starting a new sermon series at my church. It's called Seek First. Would you be interested in coming? And I'm going to hand them the card. Okay? So who do you know that you could go and invite? Now, listen up. Here's what we tend to do. This is what we tend to do. So Kelly's a friend of mine. I know her in the community. And I'm like, oh, hey, Kelly, our church is doing this thing. Here, there you go. Right? Come on, that's what we do, right? What I want you to do is I want you to engage in a conversation with that person about what are some of the things in their life that are stressing them or troubling them. And guess what? Some of the things in their life that are stressing them or troubling them are listed on the back of that card. Oh, your finances are kind of a hot mess, huh? Guess what? My pastor's going to be talking about that. You're struggling with anxiety? Hey, guess what? My pastor's going to be talking about that. A lot of the topics that we're going to be covering are the things that are affecting the people in your lives. And so have a conversation with them, and if you can pinpoint something they're struggling with, find it on the back of a card. But here, I want you to do one more thing. So often we just give them the card and then hope for the best. You have to, once you've invited the person, so I've invited Kelly, I'm going to write her name down on a notepad in my home, and I'm going to pray for Kelly every single day. Lord, would you move on Kelly's heart and bring her to church? Will you move on Kelly's heart and bring her into a relationship with you if she doesn't already have that? So after you've handed the invitation card to somebody, then you have to commit to praying them. Because our job is to invite, it's God's job to move. God has to move on their heart. They'll never come until God moves on their heart. And so we have to not only invite, but we have to pray. Okay? And then if you've invited some people and you've got their names, and if you want to email me those names, I will. I'll keep them on a master sheet, and I'll be praying for them as well, and I can even email them out to other people in the church so that we're praying for everybody that's been invited. So invite and pray. Invite and pray. But here's the thing. I don't want you to think that you're off the hook doing this one time. I'm going to give you a tool every week. Grown. Every single week for the next several weeks, at least 6 weeks, you're going to get a tool. We've got little business cards. It looks just like my business card, but rather than being glossy paper, it's regular paper, and my name isn't on it. There's a line where you write your name. So you write your name on it, and you're like, hey, this is my church. I want to invite you to come. Here's my contact info. It's going to look like it's your card, but it's going to have your name on it. We've got cool new highlighter pens. Everyone's going to get a pen 1 week. And you're going to take that to a restaurant or to a store, and you're going to give it to the waitress or to the shop clerk and say, hey, I know you're always short on pens around here. Here's a pen. It's from my church. I'd like to invite you to come. I went over here to the dollar store. What's the name of the Dollar Tree? I went over there once, and I paid with a credit card, and they don't have the chip machine yet, so you still got a sign, and she didn't have a pen. I'm like, wait. I ran all over here to the church. I grabbed a huge stack of pens. I ran back over to the store, and I gave every clerk in the store like 5 pens. And the girl's name was Shelby, and I just started going in there. I'd buy stupid stuff that I didn't even need just so I could go back in there and renew the invitation to Shelby to come to church. Sometimes, to make the kingdom advance, we have to look foolish. Right? If we're going to grow, sometimes we have to look foolish. Now, we got some other things that we can do. We've created that Seek First graphic that's on your postcard. It's on our Vineyard Facebook page. the graphic's a little bit more designed for social media, share it to your page. Go home today and share it to your page. Okay? If you're on Instagram, Bree has taken over our social media, and she's dynamite. Like, this girl's got it. If you've never seen her artwork, ask her to show you her artwork. Like, she works for the same restaurant my daughter works for, and she goes in and she does their artwork on their signs. It's ridiculous. No human being should be that talented. I say that because I'm not artistically inclined at all. She has started an Instagram page. If you're on Instagram, it's at vineyard.cl. At vineyard.cl. Join the Instagram page. Share the graphic there as well. And I'll have to send it to you because I don't think I did yet. Amen? Are you guys excited? Awesome.